big negotiations are taking place at the moment, Cress. The yes. countries are coming together and they're having big talks about the future of the world.
That's right. Yeah, the COP26 you're talking about there.
No, I'm actually talking about where people vote for their favourite Eurovision songs of all time.
Right. Oh, yes. You're talking about, of course, the big competition, not COP26, but ESC 250.
Yeah, that's what everyone else is talking about, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
It's certainly what we're going to be discussing here on Nolpois.
Nolpois is shameful.
Nolpois is lack of respect for Euros.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
Shame that they must be feeling.
Nolpois is no fun.
Yes, indeed. Welcome to Nolpois. I'm Laura. That's Sad Sack over there. Is
Sorry,
Martin?
This is
Nolpois, the podcast, the Eurovision podcast by two Eurovision fans. My voice is going. By the way, my voice is going to be gone by the end of this program.
Why? What have you been doing?
No, nothing. Just living my life, Martin. And for some reason,
that's the issue. That's where you've gone wrong.
No, but I think I did have a bit of a cold and a cough. And it's just like, from that, I think it's just started to go a little bit. But
well, I need to give you an update on my life.
Okay, can I just tell people what the hell the podcast is first?
Nah, don't worry about it. They know.
We are called Nolpois. I'm Laura. That Sad Sack is Martin. We love Eurovision. We don't know everything about it, but we're trying to learn. We're from the UK. Now, Martin, tell us about your life.
Yeah, we've got loads coming up on the podcast as well. But we're going to get to that later, because you were asking me about my optician's appointment.
Merely
hours after we finished recording our previous episode, I got a call from the opticians to say, now if you don't live in the UK, you won't know. There's a big shortage of things at the moment. Every now and again, something else is not available. It was marmalade a little while ago. Crisps. You've been unavailable to buy crisps. There's now a shortage of opticians, apparently, because they cancelled my optician's appointment because they haven't got any opticians.
What?
Which is pretty key in the whole eye test process, I thought.
Yes, you do need those opticians. I mean, you would probably like it if there weren't any opticians at the opticians.
I would.
But because Martin faints all the time when he goes to have his eye test done, sadly. Right. Okay. Well, so are you getting it rebooked or what's happening? When's the next?
Well, yeah, it's rebooked if they can rustle up someone to
find someone. If someone wants to pop in.
Yeah.
And just help Martin out. Just let us know.
All you got to do is read a few letters and try and stop me from fainting. It can't be that difficult.
No, it's easy.
Anyway, just thought I'd update you on
Thank you.
Trying to give you a little insight into my life as the podcast goes on.
No updates from the date?
Oh, that date. Well,
the stewardess. No. Oh, that date. Oh, there's other dates.
There's other dates potentially on the horizon.
Okay.
But none that have happened.
Right.
As yet. Oh, I did go for a walk around a park with somebody. That was quite nice, but nothing more
was
to report.
Was that a date or...?
Yeah, it was... Yeah, she didn't know that I was on a date with her. She's just like, why are you walking so close to me?
Sorry,
who are you?
Stay away from me. Martin, we told you can't be doing that,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah, I've read that. Anyway, hello and welcome to Nolpois. What a bizarre introduction. We've got loads to talk about on the podcast today. We're going to talk about a little bit more ABBA stuff, more news on the American Song Contest, which is what the Yanks are doing, yeehaw, instead of Eurovision. But first, to the kind of the poll of politics, to the big thing that Eurovision fans get very excited about every single year, the ESC 250. And Cress, can you just explain for the uninitiated exactly what that is and what it involves?
So basically, the ESC 250, like you say, it's a poll for the fans of Eurovision. It happens every year. It's been happening for quite a long time now. And it's organised this year by songfestival.be. Basically, fans vote. They're given every Eurovision song since 1956. Including, I will say, the entries from the cancelled 2020 contest. And they basically drag and drop the songs. They have to pick a top 10 using Eurovision's 12-point system. You can only vote once per account. And then they reveal the top 250 Eurovision songs. And that's just kind of how it works. Basically, the funny thing about this, the in-joke about this, is that Loreen's Euphoria has won this for years on end. I think it might have been 9 years in a row Euphoria has won. Yes, it's over the past 9 years, and it's held off things like Arcade, Fuego, all those kind of songs. So it's become a bit of a running joke of who's going to win ESC 2050. It's probably Loreen. But this year, there might be another contender to the throne. Hey, Martin.
Well, I mean, not really.
Do you not really think?
I mean, it's going to be Loreen. I get annoyed every single year with this, by the way, don't I? Because I always say, why on earth would you pick Loreen, a song from 2012, when ABBA's Waterloo is available to vote for?
Yes.
Why wouldn't you pick that? But I mean,
I think Waterloo always does okay. It doesn't actually, I don't think it even comes second. I'll have a look at where it came in last year's competition. But what I was trying to say, Martin, is possibly Måneskin. Do you not think Måneskin has a good chance? Because I would say the reason why Loreen's Euphoria does well is it's a lot of younger Eurovision fans who vote in ESC 2050, not just younger Eurovision fans, but that they, you know, it's an online thing, it's an online poll. They're more likely to vote, and I think that's what drives it quite a lot. And Måneskin, as we know, have done very well this year from young audiences, so maybe they've got a chance.
Yeah, it will be Loreen, I'm telling you now.
Okay, all right.
What should I say? Because remember you said that if Dua Lipa represents the UK at Eurovision, you'll run through the streets of London naked. What
yes.
will I do if Loreen doesn't top the... I will... I've got to think of something that maybe is actually achievable just in case it isn't, because there's more chance. There is more chance of it not being Loreen. What could I do?
Whilst you think about that, I'll just tell you the top 10 of last year. It was Loreen, Euphoria, then Fuego, then Arcade, then it was Portugal, Salvador Sobral with Amor Pelos Dois. I can't speak Portuguese, sorry. Kino, Spirit in the Sky, Jamala, 1944, Mahmoud with Soldi. So as you can see, as we're running down this, it's all very... quite modern songs. I'm trying to look what was the oldest song. 1955, Secret Garden and Nocturne, and that was 12th. So ABBA doesn't really... ABBA Waterloo came 19th last year.
I will go to an open mic night and I will sing a Eurovision song of your choice.
Okay. Oh, that's very... What a strange forfeit, but okay.
Well, I just think that...
Were you going to do this anyway? And you're like, oh, well, no. I'll do it. Oh, God.
Yeah. Oh, and I'll also... I'll force myself to buy something I really want. No, I just think that that would be very nerve-wracking.
Okay.
So,
yeah. Fine. Come on. In which case, everybody, come on. We have to vote for the Måneskin. So this happens.
Bit more news for you now about some stuff that's going on, and we like to keep our eye on the American Song Contest, because ever since they announced this, I think it was last year, we've had sort of conflicted thoughts on it, I reckon, as to whether or not it would be a good thing and how it might impact Eurovision, which I think has been more of our concern than anything else. The way it works is fairly straightforward. Each of the states represents itself, much like a country in the Eurovision would represent itself, and then they go and compete against each other, and someone is crowned the winner of the American Song Contest. But the exciting thing that we know now, a bit more information for you, is the date that this will be happening.
Indeed, we have the date. It's Monday, the 21st of February next year. There's going to be a two-hour primetime extravaganza on NBC. No doubt, I'll be very interested to see who they get to perform in that. The entire contest itself, as you said, it's all going to be original musical performances, so no covers. So I think that's how they're trying to set themselves apart from things like American Idol and all those kind of things, you know, X Factor, etc., where it is people singing songs that already exist, mostly. Some one or two people sing their own songs, but it's songs that are covered. This is all original music, which I think is an interesting angle. You know, that'll be fun to see. Whether that makes it sometimes harder to get into it, because obviously if you know the covers, you enjoy the songs, it's a bit more, you know, you can immediately get into it. But yeah, it's all original music. As you said, it's all 50 states. What I also find interesting is it's all 50 states. It's also 5 US territories and the nation's capital, obviously Washington, D.C. So Washington, D.C. will also have original musical performances from it. And these 5 US territories. I don't think we know which US territories they are. I mean, you know, that for I was looking up what are the US territories, but
Marshall Islands, are they in there?
I don't know. Puerto Rico is definitely one.
Puerto Rico's in there.
Yeah, there's a couple of islands. I'm not sure about Marshall, actually. It doesn't seem to mention it on this list. So you might be incorrect there, Martin, but there are many of them, and I guess it's what defines them, etc. So it'd be interesting. I mean, like, for example, do they mean things like Alaska when they're talking about this?
Oh, no.
Do you know what I mean?
That's part of the mainland US. I think it's places like the American Virgin Islands or US Virgin Islands and stuff like that. Places where they've got big old military bases.
Yeah, basically, yes. But there's only five of them, and there's a lot more than five that exist. So it'll be interesting to see how they... Virgin Islands, like you say, Guam, Puerto Rico, Samoa, that kind of stuff. But we'll see which ones they pick. But anyway, they're part of it. Washington as well. And then 50 states too.
I thought it's quite interesting just to see how closely the American Song Contest mirrors the Eurovision Song Contest. And a slight difference in how they're whittling the 50 down, because of course in Eurovision it ends up with 26 countries performing in some cases. There was a trivia time about that, but this time they've got to get down from 50 to, and I don't know how many are going to be in the final, but there will be more rounds. So there are three qualifying rounds, then there are the semi-finals, and then there's the grand final. So I don't quite know how it's going to work. I don't know whether the qualifying rounds
I think the grand final is going to have 50 states. I think it's, I could be wrong. Maybe we'll need to look into this more, because they haven't made it very clear on this little bit of information here with the dates. But I think it's 50 states compete against each other. And then, like you say, perhaps when it comes to the semi-finals, then they'll start whittling it down. But I think before that, it's all 50 states at the qualifying rounds, because the qualifying rounds aren't states versus states. I think they are people representing their states and who are going to go through to represent it. Then the semi-finals will be maybe all 50, possibly.
Oh, well.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that is a lot, isn't it? Anyway.
But when you think about it, each, you know, the semi-finals at Eurovision, you know, they're split. They have the split there, and that's quite a lot of countries in each semi-final. So
yeah, very true. I mean, we know it can be done. It'll just be interesting to see how it works and whether the US and the US public, the US audience, is take to it in the same way, because
whether they care at all.
Yeah, I do wonder. I have to say, I'm not sure I hold out a huge amount of hope for it working in the same way, certainly, as it does in Europe.
Oh yes, it'll definitely work differently, and I'm sure in this premiere they'll have a couple of big names to, like, you know, hook people in. It'll be very interesting to see who's hosting it as well.
Still to come, doing trivia time, and Cressy is going to be giving you a bit of a fact from Eurovision's history that you maybe just didn't know, and exploring something new about the competition that you maybe have never come across before. Also, your correspondence as well, and details of how you can get in touch. We were talking in the last podcast, and do go back and listen to that if you haven't already, because it was all about ABBA, a big special on ABBA. Of course, the Voyage album was released, and we had a super fan on, and we were talking about that and ABBA in the competition. A little bit to add to that now, and well, you would have thought that all members of ABBA, considering it was where they found fame, would absolutely love Eurovision because it made them the massive band that they are. Not the case, Cress.
Not quite, no. Well, Annie Fried from ABBA, I mean, she was talking to Zoe Ball on Radio 2 on the BBC, on the breakfast show recently, and she said this: "I'm not so interested about Eurovision," she's saying, "because it's changed so much over the years. It's not what it was at that time," which I think is, yeah, of course it has.
Yeah,
it's changed since 1974, yes. "Now it's more like a show. It's very technical, and there are some good songs coming out of it, but I cannot say I'm a fan of Eurovision. Maybe I shouldn't say it, but I did it anyway." So,
you
just said it. So Annie Fried, not such a fan of Eurovision anymore. And I was interested in her saying, "Now it's more like a show," because obviously it's always been a show. But I guess what she's trying to say, it's a bit more clinical. It's a bit more, I suppose, in a way, professional, rather than it being maybe just about the music. I don't know. What do you think about that comment?
I can see what she's saying. It almost feels like she's been living in some sort of hole, though, since 1974. Of course it's changed. Of course it's It's different. But the thing is, I think maybe that she's living in Cloud Cuckoo Land if she thinks that it wasn't a TV show in 1974.
Yeah, and I think that it was still run pretty technically then. Maybe she just wasn't aware of it. I'm sure now it's obviously a lot bigger and there's a lot more going on. Maybe she means, you know, obviously now there's a lot more pyrotechnics. There's, you know, some guy running in a hamster wheel, etc., which you wouldn't have got back then, and there's a lot more sort of props and gimmicks. Perhaps that's what she's saying.
Maybe. I just think at its heart, Eurovision is still very much a song contest. It is about the music. Yeah, it's about loads of other things as well. Of course it is. But at its heart, it is about the music. And I don't think that that's ever changed at all. I'm a little surprised that she would come out with something like that.
Well, I'll be honest, I'm not, because it reminds me of when this year during, I think it was the semi-finals in the UK, one of the presenters, I think it was, I can't remember who it was now, but they were talking to Cheryl Baker, obviously of Bucks Fizz fame, and she had a kind of similar view on the contest. And I think it's a bit sad, but it seems to be that some of the perhaps older generation of Eurovision contestants and winners have grown a bit apart from the contest, possibly. I would say that's, I don't want to generalise that, because obviously there's plenty that are still really into the contest, but perhaps it's something to do with the older generation. They seem to not be quite into it as much. They don't see, I mean, maybe just because they're not part of it anymore, they don't get the sort of excitement, but it seems to be a bit of a trend, certainly with some of the contestants, not all of them.
Yeah, I find that really interesting. And it might be worth actually going and listening back to our conversation that we had with Katrina off of Katrina and the Waves. We did this was before Eurovision, this year that we had that conversation. But if you go and scroll back, you'll be able to find that episode. And I reckon she talked a little bit about what Eurovision kind of means to her now. And she's, you know, she represented the UK in 1997. You could argue that's kind of more of the old school Eurovision. Maybe just the tail end of it.
Well, it's the last time the UK won, so
definitely, it's definitely old school for that reason. But I think that she still is really involved in it now and still really enjoys it. So it's certainly by no means a completely generalised view, but yeah, certainly there does seem to be that feeling from certainly some of the people who took part in sort of the 70s, 80s, and 90s that Eurovision isn't what it once was. Okay, correspondence to come in just a moment, but time for something else now. What's it time for? Cressy.
Trivia time!
Oh my goodness me, yes, it's the time for Cress in this particular podcast to give you a little bit of information about Eurovision that you probably didn't know.
Yeah, and I think just because we were talking about ESC 250 and Euphoria and Loreen and how it wins every year, just looking into how well Euphoria did, really, when it was performed in 2012 by Loreen. And the answer is very well indeed. Yeah. It was a success. It was a success in Sweden and the rest of Europe. In Sweden, it did make number one. It debuted at number 12 and it stayed at number one for 6 weeks in the charts. The song's been certified 10 times platinum. This is in Sweden, selling 400,000 copies there. But outside of Sweden, it did very well as well. It peaked at number one in 16 countries across Europe. And Martin, that is the most chart-topping positions of any Eurovision winner. I can get, but it is kind of crazy how well it did, don't you think?
Yeah, I was going to ask you this. Why do you think that song? Because, don't get me wrong, it is a really good song. I like Euphoria, great song. Loreen's performance was very, very memorable. Yeah. Running around like Claudia Winkleman with bare feet. I'm surprised it has done so well and stood the test of time in the way that it has.
I agree. And it really caught the imagination in the UK as well. I mean, it didn't get to number one, but it got to number three.
But it was everywhere, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was everywhere. It was the highest chart position for a non-UK Eurovision entry since Johnny Logan's Hold Me Now, which is nuts because that was 1987. It spent 15 consecutive weeks in the UK top 100. And it's also the most downloaded Eurovision single in UK history. So that's ahead of Waterloo. can I just say? It's been downloaded more than Waterloo has. Why? Well, a good question. I think it caught the imagination at the time. It was at a time where there was a lot of that kind of dance. I mean, obviously dance music is everywhere. It's not like it's died after 2012, but there was a lot of kind of poppy dance music in the charts. It's just a good song, I think, is the real answer. Obviously, Eurovision does help, like, as we've seen with Måneskin. It makes people aware of these songs. And then if off the back of that, it's a great song and it's in the clubs everywhere, people are going to download it.
It's a crazy, but all credit to her. Wow, what a performance.
Yeah, well
and,
done, Laurie.
Yeah, she'll probably do ESC 250 proud again, I would imagine.
One thing I will just quickly say is, though, although it's, you know, got all these awards, it's gone so high in the charts, it did miss out on one thing. It did not get the all-time record of points. Now, do you know what song it has?
This is in ESC 250 or this is in Eurovision?
No. This is in Eurovision. And it was 15 points shy of the all-time record points ever.
Well, I would say that is going to be a more modern one, because since they changed the voting.
Yep.
So it's going to have been since, 2015? So that's got to be Heroes by Mons?
Why would it be? What? What are you on about? How would it?
That was 2015,
yeah, but
wasn't it?
Loreen Euphoria came out in 2012, which is before 2015. So I'm saying at the time.
Oh, sorry, sorry.
It's like, it can't compete with future entries, Martin.
Oh, no, sorry, I missed that. I missed that crucial element of the question. Oh, right, well, I haven't got a blooming clue in that case then.
Well, okay, so before 2012, so you don't know. Just have a guess.
I'm just trying to think of some. The Rebac guy with the violin.
Yes.
Yes, Alexander Rybak.
Yes, Alexander Rybak.
The song.
You're correct. It was him.
Oh.
Jesus. I mean, we could look into whether Mons beat it. But yeah, Alexander Rybak with the song Fairy Tale, just 15 points shy. He got 387, she got 372. But it did break the record for having received the most 12 points awarded by 18 other countries as well. So records galore, but Alexander Rybak did hold onto that one at that point.
Got it. Thank you very much for that edition of
Trivia Time.
And now we move swiftly on to your correspondence. And thank you very much for getting in touch. It's really good fun, actually, when you write to us and just get involved with some of the nonsensical conversations that we're having, and indeed some of the sensical ones, which sometimes make their way into this podcast. Okay, sometimes we talk about Eurovision, and sometimes that's what you talk about. But most of the time, it's my trips to the opticians and my dates.
Yeah, no, we're not talking about that anymore.
Good.
I've had enough of that.
What are we talking about?
Well, thank you very much to everyone who's got in contact with us about. We asked you on our Instagram, which is Nolpoir Podcast, if you want to get involved in the conversation. We asked you what you make of the new ABBA album, because of course that's what we were talking about last week with our super fan Ruth. And thank you to Suez Nish, who commented on our latest post saying, "I Could Be That Woman is an amazing song worthy of a place on any ABBA album." And I have to admit, I do quite like that one. That is, I don't think it's my favourite on that ABBA album, Voyage, but it's definitely up there. And I think if they just had a few more of those songs on there, it feels like some of the others feel like a bit filler, I will say.
I think a lot of them are growers.
Oh,
certainly
okay.
The two singles now, I find myself walking along the road and singing them without realising it. And then I go, oh, maybe it is good, actually.
Oh, maybe I do like it. But anyway, thanks for giving us your thoughts on that. We've got more comments as well on Nolpoir Podcast if you want to get involved in the conversation. We are also on Twitter @PoirNull if you want to tweet us with your thoughts. What do you think about the American Song Contest? Are you going to watch it? You're going to try and watch it when it's out on Monday, the 21st of February. What do you think about Anne Fried saying she's not into Eurovision, and these sort of older contestants? And do you think Loreen will win ESC 250 again, or are Måneskin in with a chance? And if you could vote for Måneskin, that'd be great, so Martin could do his weird forfeit. But if you do want to email us, we are nolpoirpodcast@gmail.com. We always love getting your emails. It's very nice when we get them. So do that, and subscribe, of course, to the podcast if you're not already, so you know when it's coming out. It's always, we hope to get it out on a Sunday, and give us a 5-star rating as well. That'd be nice if you could on iTunes. Give us a little rating there if you're reviewing us.
Oh yeah, thanks. That'd be nice. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again on another edition of
Nolpois.